Well, let's go over to Romans 8:14. Praise God.
Glory.
Roman, y'all are quiet this morning.
Hallelujah.
Where's my noisemakers? Thank you, thank you. Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage unto fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. That word Abba means daddy. Mm-hmm. Okay, it means daddy. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. We are joint heirs with Christ. We're with him in it.
Right.
Not just co-heirs, we're joint heirs. We're joined. Inheritance always sounds good. When people say inheritance, you think, oh, yeah, they got an inheritance, you know. Inheritance, just to be clear, although I believe everybody here, everyone watching probably knows what inheritance is, but inheritance is when one generation passes down something to the next. That's what it is. Whether it's anointing or blessing or money or a house or a car or whatever it could be that one generation is going to pass to the next. Mm-hmm. My daddy worked very hard. I guess he would be what you call a blue collar worker. In his time, he would have been someone who would be kind of like when computers came in and everybody learned how to do computers. Some of y'all children don't know about those days, but there was a day when we didn't have those.
That's right.
But anyway, My dad worked on armatures in motors, electric motors. That was when the electric motors were big deals. Mm-hmm. And so my dad made his money by working on electric motors, which actually pushed him into being an entrepreneur because he actually learned how to build air conditioning units for people. And in the town we lived in, people would come up. He sold them to everybody. He would get old units. Remember the window units?
Yeah.
So he'd get the old window units, and he'd fix them up, and he could fix people's washing machines and all that. He was the fix-it man, you know. Well, that led to him. He did another job, but that led to him, you know, San Marcos, Texas. My dad ran every water well, the big wells, in San Marcos, Texas. He was in charge of the water there because he knew how to run the machinery. But he worked hard every day. I don't remember ever coming home and seeing Dad sitting on the couch earlier than 6:30, 7, maybe 8 o'clock at night. He was a busy guy. But he saved his money, and he saved it, you know, in money markets and things like that. And so there were four children. I'm the last child, and he left us all an inheritance. And we were all equally given that inheritance. You have a father who is distributing an inheritance.
Yeah.
And he has worked to get you to this place so you can have it.
Amen.
And my daddy went home early to be with the Lord, but he did bless us. And your Father God, whether you have a daddy who does that or not, your Father God wants to give you an inheritance. And I want to go a little bit further with this. I want to show you some things. You could be someone's child and not get an inheritance because not everybody leaves an inheritance. Now, the Bible says a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. So a good man will bless his grandchildren, save and bless his grandchildren. And I believe that word. I believe that to be true. So that's what I'm doing in life. And I know many of you are doing the same thing. You're leaving trust funds and things for your grandchildren. God has that for you. Now, you could have an inheritance but not get it. I have friends who had an inheritance, and it was stolen from them. Okay? I declare if it was stolen from you, you get it back.
Yep.
Well, I'm walking into this slowly, but you'll catch up with me in just a moment. So it is with the kingdom. This is how it is with the kingdom. You need to look into and get understanding about this. And here it is. You need to see it. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Okay? Mm-hmm. You got that? That's what we just read. Those that are led.
Yeah.
Led are the sons of God. So there's a way for you to inherit.
Yeah.
If I would have run off when I was 16 or something and left my family and they never knew where I was and they couldn't find me, come on, I probably wouldn't have gotten my inheritance.
Right.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But this says being led by the Spirit. So, church, this is the heart of sonship. The heart of sonship is being led. And when I say sonship, I mean daughtership as well. Amen. So the heart of sonship. So we come to the place where we're led by the Spirit of a God who is a fathering spirit. Mm. He is a good father.
Yeah.
He's a good father. So he's not a spirit of slavery. He's not maybe what some religious people talk, a mean God who's looking at your every sin and trying to slap you down. That's not who he is. Religious people want you to believe that. They're going to judge you all day long and try to straighten you up. God loves you.
Yeah. Amen.
And it's not all about him. You need to be sin conscious all the time. I'm going to go ahead and say this right now because someone listening needs to hear this. The only sin that will take you to hell is not receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But Jesus has redeemed us.
Yeah.
So nobody can point any fingers or throw any stones at anyone. Just receive Jesus.
Amen.
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 Now, so this is that we need to be led. And the heart of sonship is being led by the Spirit. It's about intimacy and innocence. It's about you being a kid with daddy. Okay, so the Holy Spirit gives us that inner assurance that we are the children of God, according to the scripture we read. Are y'all here?
Yes.
Okay, so where the Holy Spirit will assure you of that, and then you make that connection that it's those who are led that are going to end up getting their inheritance. So to be led by the Spirit is then to be subject to God's mission. And our perfect example is Jesus, who is our elder brother. He had only one mission. And this is it. It's John 5:19. Then answered Jesus and said unto him, verily I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these things doeth the Son likewise. So whatever the Father is doing is what Jesus was doing. Okay? Jesus followed God by the Holy Spirit. Jesus didn't go, you know what, I think I'm going to try this. Shama, 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 whatever, you know. No, no. He listened to God and he only did and said what Father was telling him to do. So Jesus completed the Father's mission. Listen, everything we see in Christ, we are heirs to as Christians. Everything. Everything that we see in him, his authority, his power, dunamis power, his exousia power, authority, that belongs to us.
Yeah.
Blessings, riches, favor,
yeah.
All of these things are ours.
Amen.
They belong to us. Safety, provision, protection, that all belongs to us.
Amen.
But we don't become like Jesus. Now listen to me, because you may have missed this in your life. You don't become like Jesus by focusing our lives on Jesus. Wait for it. We become like Jesus by focusing our lives on what Jesus focused his life on. You see that?
Yeah.
You're not just looking at Jesus. You're looking at what Jesus did. And he focused his life on following the Holy Spirit, following Father.
Right.
So what he's saying to us is, look at me. I'm your example I'm following Father. So follow the anointing. Follow the Spirit of God. And those that are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. And they get an inheritance. So Jesus focused on being a son, revealing the Father and his love for the world to spiritual orphans so that they could become sons and daughters. So get this, church. This is real easy. Our mission is to do what Jesus did and follow the Father through the Holy Spirit, and we will cause other people to become sons like we are. That's our mission. That's it. It's easy. It's not hard. It's not a hard thing. We just live our life following the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to show you, I want to look here how movement begins in this verse. Watch the movement of this thing. 8:14. Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For all who being led by the Spirit of God, all who are being led by the Spirit of God, all who are subject to the Father's mission then are the sons of God. Now, let's look at sons, because we see we're led by the Spirit, but now let's look at sons. The word sons here is a Greek word, and it's actually the word weos. And there are two words in the Greek for sons. One is weos, meaning the responsible son, the older son, and the other is technon. Mm-hmm. A technon would be like a toddler. Mm-hmm. Okay? Mm-hmm. So a technon refers to an immature child who lives for what others can do for him. Ouch, right? Yeah. Now, you know babies start out that way. Give me my bottle. Give me my food. Give me that toy. Give me that. It's mine. It's mine. It's mine, you know. And, it just reminded me of what Lori Morgan said about her third kid. She said when that baby cried and wanted the toy, she'd just say, just give it to him. That's not really how we raise our kids, is it? She'd already had enough and she was tired and she was like, just give them the toy. But that's not what we do. But this is someone who just is totally looking out for themselves. It's totally about them. But the weos is someone who is going to move forward. They're going to move forward in the kingdom of God. They're the ones who can say, you know what, Dad? You know what, Father? What do we need to get done? What do we need to get done, Father? And we'll just start doing it. This is what we need to get done to get the mission done. So we're co-missioned. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we want to be weos. This is the spirit of sonship. Now, verse 15 says, ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, which we cry, Abba, Father. So this spirit of adoption. Now, I understand, church, people think a lot of things about adoption, but I'm going to tell you something. The Jewish people, when they adopted someone, that person was right in front of the blood-bought kid.
Yeah.
You could not deny them any right. They were blood now relatives.
Right.
And this is what God is saying. You're not the stepchild.
Right.
You're not Cinderella.
That's right.
That's not who you are. You've been brought into the house and you are as good. God loves you just as much as he loves Jesus. Yes, he does. And you need to get used to that. He loves you. Mom, my spirit's going so many places. Help me, Jesus. What does sonship or what does adoption look like? What does it look like? Well, it feels like being at rest in Father's embrace. Man, when my daddy came through the door, he got home at 11 minutes after 5 every day. We were ready for Dad to walk in the door when we were little kids. Here he comes in the door. He's got Juicy Fruit in his pocket. How many of y'all remember Juicy Fruit? Yeah, that was the good gum. You know, the kind that had some sugar in it. We wanted that stuff. So here comes Dad. He's got juice food in his pocket. He's like Brother Jerry, you know, Jerry's painting body. But he's got Cliff on his shirt, you know. He comes walking in there. Here he comes. We attack Dad. He's down on the floor. I'm riding him like a horse. He crawls across the living room floor. I mean, we love Daddy. And he took care of us. He was great. That's how Father feels about you. He's coming in there. He's ready to play. I remember my mother was very ill when I was a little child, and she was in the hospital, and they were whispering that she might not come home. And I remember me and my sister being there. I don't know where the boys were. I don't remember where they were. But my sister and I were there with my dad, and his bedroom was here, and then the living room was here. And we were those fancy people, like in the 60s, that had those split couches. And the table was in between. Remember those? And you could turn them like this or whatever. And my mother was so big into that. You know, she changed the furniture every 2 weeks, you know, whatever. Now you know where I get that from. You know, always wanting new furniture. Anyway, it just seemed like a really dreary night. You know, Mom was gone. And Dad said, girls, y'all can sleep on the couch and you'll be right next to my room. So we got the big quilts out. Y'all are old enough. You remember the big quilts?
Oh, yeah.
You know, it was different in those days. We had what they called swamp coolers. Anybody remember those? Yeah, a few people. So it's just, you fill it up with water and it blows cool. So it's blowing on the couch. It's cool. We're all covered up. Dad's in there. And I remember having this feeling. I am so safe. I am so safe right now. Dad's right there. Sissy's right there. I'm cool. I'm comfortable. I'm in my house and everything is okay. I was like 5 years old. Makes me want to cry. Did you know that to this day, when I can't sleep, I start thinking about that day, that night. And I get real safe and real comfortable. Only I have someone way bigger than Daddy. I have my Father. I have my Father and I'm his kid. I guess this is a Mother's Day about fatherhood, but it works.
Amen. I love it.
Holy Spirit is like our mother, nurturing, kind. Amen. Praise the Lord. But you have that, church. You have that peace with Father. You have that protection with Father. There's certain people when you're around them, you feel protected. You know what I mean? You feel safe. Amen. Now, your relationship from this point on with God in terms of things you desire have nothing to do with anything you taste, touch, see, smell, or hear. Did you hear me? The things that you want from God, the things that you're faithing in, have nothing to do with how you feel about them, if you can see them, if you can taste them, has nothing to do with your senses. Mm-hmm. Amen. Has nothing to do with them. Faith means that you've left the sense realm. Faith means you've left the sense realm. You're not depending on seeing. What did the song say? Even when I can't see it, he's working. Even when you can't see it, Father is working. Holy Spirit is working. Angels are working. It's your job to believe it. Church, I'm going to give you a big hint in life. You can't change people. It's not your job to change people. Well, I need to straighten my kids out. Hey, it's not your job to, when they're little, it is. But it's not your job to change people. It's your job to love them. God changes people.
Right. Yeah.
You love them. That's all you got to remember. So when you get in a situation with people, just love them. All you have to do is love them.
Yeah.
All you have to do is be kind to them. Be on their side.
Yes, that's good.
And they'll come through. You get up against them, it's harder for them to come through. But if you get on their side, you're going to have the victory. That could go really deep right there. See, no longer are you looking for senses to tell you anything in terms of good or bad or whether you have it or you don't. The natural senses belong to the natural man, and you're not a natural man. You're a spirit-filled Christian and a son of the living God. You're not normal. You're not natural. You got power.
Yeah.
You got the power.
That's right.
I have to do that every once in a while. I want to feel like I can sing like Nancy Wilson, Ann Wilson, whichever one that goes, ah! I try it sometimes. I get a lot of laughs, but anyway, praise the Lord. Somebody in here go, who are the Wilsons? Praise the Lord. Well, if you have a heart, you'll know who they are. Now, anyway, Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation. Remember, he signed it and the slaves went free. You remember that?
Yeah.
But did you know that, the slaves didn't feel free?
Right.
And they kept looking on the outside to see if something changed on the outside for what had been written there with him.
Yeah.
But it didn't look different on the outside. So they had to, by faith, begin to step out and get free and believe that paper had been signed and that it was true. And that's where you are. You've been emancipated. You're not a slave. You don't have to struggle. You can live a good life with Father protecting you, Father providing for you, Father loving you, Father being on your side. I'm telling you right now, from this day forward, in order for you to receive your inheritance and your promised land, you are going to operate on a level beyond anything that you can feel or see or hear or touch or taste, any of it. You're going to have to do it without being able to see it. That's how faith works. You don't have to see everything to know that he's working. You don't have to see, well, quite frankly, God is working, but Jesus has already done everything. There are things that are working, it's true, but your healing has already been bought and paid for.
That's right.
It didn't go away when the apostles died. The apostles aren't all dead. There are apostles in the world right now. There are prophets in the world right now. Now, you have everything. You just have to, it's like having money in the bank and you don't know how to write a check.
Mm-hmm.
Or use a card nowadays, I guess. Or Venmo, is that what we call it? Venmo, yeah. The girls are like, let me just Venmo you some money. I'm like, okay. Danny set it up on my phone. I'm like, I guess this is good. You know, I don't know. I just do what they tell me to do. Amen. But it's yours. You, all these things are yours. Aren't you glad you didn't come to a church to find out how bad you are today?
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
That's not what God intended. Sinners in the hands of an angry God.
No.
You've been paid for. You're free. You're free. Yeah, but you don't know what I've done. Join the club. Everybody's done stuff.
Right.
You're free. I keep feeling like I need to keep saying that today. Just be free. You're free. Yeah, but I've been a Christian and I've messed up. You're free. You're free. You're free. You're free. And you're a child that is loved. All right, let's finish this up. So, when you're going to solve a problem then, so a problem comes up, you're going to want to solve it because that's part of your co-mission, is to solve problems and help other people. Don't listen to your world-programmed mind. Don't listen to your mind. Can I tell you, you shouldn't always just drop down to your experience? there may be a different way to get this door open than the last time.
Yep. Yeah.
Did you hear me?
Yes.
So you always be led by the Spirit. There's a different way in this time. There's something different to do this time. So you're going to say, Lord, I need the answer to this problem. Amen? Say amen to that.
Amen.
Lord, I need the answer to this problem. Amen. Get the answer. That's what Daniel did. Hey, Daniel, the king didn't go to Daniel and say, hey, I had this dream. Let me tell you about the dream, and then I need you to interpret it. He said, tell me the dream I had and interpret it. Mm-hmm. That's out there.
Mm-hmm.
But Daniel did it.
Yeah.
Well, how did he do that? He asked God.
Right.
He didn't go, well, let's see what they say on the internet. He was like, I just don't need the answer to the dream. I need to know the dream, Lord. And God gave it to him. Faith gets above the natural sense realm. It gets above, it allows the Spirit of God to lead us. Now, not only will it flow, but it will do this. And this is what I want to get to as we go down the home path right now, which we have plenty of time to do this. It flows, but it builds momentum.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It builds momentum. And let me talk to you just for a few minutes about that. John 5:19 said, then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son of Man can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these things also the Son likewise. So, listen, Jesus was unashamed that he got his success from his Father.
Well, that's good.
Now, this is going to be a big point in a minute. Listen to me for based on your calling, okay? Now, inheritance is designed to create momentum.
Do
you get that? It's designed to create momentum. The encounters that we've had with God, the revelation, the mysteries, all of these things, the encounters, the revelation, the mysteries, they all need to be passed to the next generation. Need to be passed to your children and their children. You need to know what I know.
That's good.
Yeah.
Margaret's grandchildren need to know what she knows.
Yeah.
Jesse's mama sitting there, her grandchildren need to know what she knows. In this house, the generations, we've been paid a very high compliment by one of my favorite people in the world who said, we're so multi-generational here. That's a blessing. It's a blessing that I have this relationship with Danny, but I also have it with Kendall. You see what I'm saying? It's so important that Art and I can relate to each other, but I could relate to Gabe and Katie.
Yeah.
And they are getting the same message. Same with us all. Okay, now, that we did that as far as family units. But spiritually, whatever people we need to reach that don't know what you know need to know what you know. I hope I'm getting this across. Help me, Holy Spirit. So we're looking for this momentum here. Now, what God starts never ends. We want momentum through inheritance. Just like the blessing, we are to steward the inheritance and release momentum into the earth. So we're steward. Every church has a call. Every church, if you go and you decided to go to a different church, you're going to find it's not like this one. It still doesn't mean it's not good. It's just there's a different calling on the churches.
Right.
There are churches here that are what people call a little bit more seeker friendly because there are people who spiritually probably couldn't handle us yet.
Mm-hmm.
Some of y'all are laughing.
That's true.
But the calling on this church is to not hold back.
Yeah.
And will not embarrass anyone or ask anyone to do anything that they don't want to do. We don't do that kind of stuff. But we're supposed to move forward in the Spirit of God, right. And we're a faith church. And so we're going to teach people how to use their faith. And then the big assignment is to bring people from milk to meat and to experience the glory of God. These are things that are in this church. So what we have to do is make sure that Avery knows what I know. Because I know what Brother Hagin knows. I know what Billy Brim knows. I've just really been thinking about this the last few days, about all the things that we've been taught. I was watching Brother Hagin yesterday, and they were singing a joy song, you know, and everything broke out. Y'all know about that stuff. And I noticed on the front row, there was the Cowans. I don't know if y'all know them, but they've been big with Brother Hagin for years. And then there was these two people named Kenneth and Gloria. And then there was this lady named Billy. And then there was this tall blonde named Nancy. And then a man named Ed.
Yeah.
Now, that's still our roots.
Right.
And I thought to myself, what I got from them, you're getting from me and them too. I got it from them. They got it from Brother Hagin. So I got from Brother Hagin. Yeah. Then you got it from me. And then you got it from them. And then you got it from Brother Hagin. And so this inheritance is making momentum. Right. And we're not going to let go of it.
Right.
We're not going to decide to be anybody else. I'm not going to decide not to be an Alexander. Right. It's in my DNA. This is who I am. Mm-hmm. I was born to be this person. My dad's Clifton. His dad is named Alfie. And his dad is named John Henry. And his dad is named James. And his dad is named Joseph. No, that's his brother. John is his name. And it goes all the way up until you get to the Alexanders that are out in Washington. So this is who I am. This is the church we are. You're in the right place. This is your DNA. This is how you were raised. This is who you're supposed to be. And this is who Irie's children are going to be. She's going to teach them. Kids, you can't just go by what you see. God is good. She's not going to say, well, I don't know. God's mean. No. She's not going to fall into religion. She's going to go. Is this helping anybody?
Oh, yeah.
All right. So we create a culture of momentum through inheritance. How does it work? A core part. Now, we'll get to the closing here pretty quick. A core part of a culture of inheritance lies in the ability to celebrate someone else's greatness. Come on. And anointing and victories. I'm going to say it again. A core part of our culture, this culture, lies in the ability to be able to celebrate someone else's greatness, anointing and victories. And as we cultivate this into every day of our lives as individuals, as a church, we're going to experience a newer level of momentum. And we will also see something flow from heaven that's unprecedented. If we keep passing this on, if we keep moving in this, heaven is going to back us up.
That's right.
We're moving on that right now with Bobby and Karina.
Yeah.
Karina is going to teach in Spanish at Sandy's home.
Yeah.
Because we want to help more people be able to hear this message that God has given us. And so we're going to celebrate the anointing that is on them to do it and help people. And then we're also going to look into, at least for right now, whatever I say is going to come up on the screen in Spanish. That's what we're looking for.
Oh, hallelujah.
And then we're going to get ear stuff. But right now, we're going to help whoever we can, whatever way we can.
Glory.
Momentum. We're moving in it. This word of faith, this God is good. This glory, this thing, these, this powerful God that we're serving. We're going, we're moving forward.
Amen. Yeah.
I don't know if you've noticed, but a teenager sings with the adults.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've noticed this, but, the youth ministry has grown, and the sister of this teenager right here, where is she? Oh, she's running the computer. That's momentum.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
That girl over there can prophesy.
Yeah.
It's momentum. We're moving forward. Now, it's common and so easy for us to celebrate and encourage someone, listen to me, who has worked for their labor, okay? But I have to tell you, it's very rare to find an environment where people are celebrated and encouraged when they receive something they didn't work for. Choke. Because we're performance driven. So many times we're just performance driven, and so it's a challenge for us to celebrate when someone just gets something. But we need to. We need to. See, we've just created a lifestyle that is perpetuated by the level of performance that people put out. And so we'll say, well, they have just worked so hard, they just deserve it. But that's not how God works. I didn't work a day in my life for the inheritance I got from my daddy. Now, I worked, but not, I didn't work as hard as my other siblings at all. I mean, you talk about baby. Anyway, but that was given to me. I just had to receive it.
Yeah.
You just have to receive favor. I'm going to talk Texas right here. Translators, you're going to have to figure out how to do this. Favor ain't fair.
That's right. Yeah.
Favor isn't fair. Well, they just deserve favor. They just so much deserve it. It's ours.
Yeah.
It's yours. Yeah. It belongs to you.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if you deserve that car you've driven. Too late. The title's at my house and I own that car.
That's right.
You sure do live in a big house. I don't know if you deserve it. Too late. The title's at my house. I own that house.
Right.
It's mine. Favor is yours. Healing is yours. Prosperity is yours.
Yeah.
Blessing is yours.
Yeah.
Peace is yours. Joy is yours. Overcoming is yours.
Amen. Glory to God.
Get used to it. And don't be upset when somebody else does it. And gets it. Man, I worked so hard and that guy walked right up there and got that. Well, be happy for that guy. Celebrate with that guy. Be happy with the people. The people of Nazareth were so familiar with Jesus that when he showed up, he could do miracles. He could have healed everybody. And they said, isn't that our cousin? He lives over there at Aunt Mary's. That's Joseph's kid. I saw him just working down the street there in their shop. They worked over there with Butch Barino over there in that architect shop over there. I saw him over there. That's just our cousin. How is it that he's doing all that? What'd they do? They missed out because they got too familiar. They got too familiar and well, how does he deserve to be doing that? Am I ringing any bells right now? No point in the fingers over who deserves and who doesn't.
Amen.
Amen. That city unwillingly determined the level of the supernatural by their ability to celebrate Jesus. They couldn't do it. But we can celebrate Jesus, and we can celebrate favor on your life, and we can celebrate your promotion, and we can celebrate you going forward, and we don't have to go, golly, I wish that would have happened to me.
Yeah. That's good.
Man, it's quiet in the church. Danny, I'm going to run. You close out, okay? No. Listen, church, something very wonderful takes place when we embrace the opportunity to celebrate someone else's inheritance and momentum. our hearts just become shaped in a way that echoes the very heart of God. That's what we want to do. We want to be happy. Remember when your baby first walked and you were so excited? Remember how you felt when they rode their bike off for the first time? Remember when they pulled that first fish out? Remember when they began to do and you were so excited? That's how God feels about us, and that's how we should all feel about each other. Look at them go. Look at them go. I'm the one here with power. Shama, 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 shama. They haven't been here as long as I have now. They need to sit down. Church, when we become aware of someone else's greatness, when we become aware of their victories and anointing, it exposes the attitudes of our hearts. And I just want to say this, you know, we prayed, Lord, create in me a clean heart. Create in me a clean heart. Do we think that God just instantly cleans our hearts? I'm talking about soul, not spirit. Your spirit's clean. You know, perhaps our heart becomes clean by a process of opportunities where you make adjustments. Maybe you need to make the adjustment. Maybe you need to go, oh, I might have felt a little jealous there. I need to deal with that. I don't know, I feel left out. I just feel, you know what feeling left out is? Jealousy. It's what it is. Yeah. It's not just they get to do something. It's just being, you feel left out, period. It's jealousy. Amen.
Amen.
Got quiet again. Quiet in the church. You know, just adjust your heart. Church, we can talk about it all day long, but the bottom line is that we want this culture and concept in practice and not just theory.
Right.
We want to be doing it. The keys to this are you need to understand that each of us has an inheritance. We all have one. And we make sure our own identity is intact. Make sure it's intact. You know who you are. And be more concerned with what God thinks than what people think and say. You don't need to be so concerned with what everybody else thinks. Obviously, you're the group that doesn't care so much about what other people think. Or you wouldn't be sitting in here right now. So anyway, praise the Lord. So when we base our lives on what people say, we're going to have unstable, erratic lives. So we just do not want to do that. We need to concentrate on who we are. Circumstances will not shape us. Rather, we shape the circumstances when we know who we are. If we know who we are, we shape the circumstances. No, you're not putting that on me. No, I'm not having that. No, I'm not going that way.
Yep.
I'm not taking that. Get off.
Yeah.
And it's mostly right here. It's mostly in your thinking. Any attack you get is going to have something to do with your mind. You have to say no to it. Amen. When you operate from your true identity, you find that pressure no longer controls you. I'm safe. Dad's right here. I'm in a cool place. Everything's okay. I will not fail. Yes, Lord, I hear you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We're not to be threatened by someone else's success. If you are, look at your own identity. You're not thinking enough of yourself. You need to look at your own identity. We need to celebrate and not pretend. We need to build a culture of love and greatness. Reach out beyond our own walls and draw people in by who we are. We're doing this right now in here so we will make a difference and be an influence out there. That's why we're doing this right here. We just didn't do this to come feel good. God loves me and I'm blessed. We're sharing this with the world.
Yes.
You receive this today? Yes. Praise the Lord. Yes, I have not forgotten, Lord. Building momentum, inheritance-wise, is way bigger than an outreach. It's way bigger than 10 outreaches we could do. Like, yeah, but if we did 10 outreaches, we could win a lot of people. If we build momentum in this house, not denying doing the outreaches, we should do outreaches. We should talk to people out on the street. We should do all those things. But if we build momentum together and we celebrate each other and we get rid of jealousy and judgment and all that kind of stuff and we walk in unity, we're going to throw something, a wave out there that is going to reach out and grab people. Without it, we're just winning people and then saying, you know, okay, you got saved. I hope you do okay. But if we build something in here that we can take out there and bring people back in here and they can be, it didn't say just win people to Jesus. We're supposed to disciple people. They're supposed to rise up and get stronger in God. This will do it. If we will receive who we are, receive our own inheritance, know that God loves you and you don't have to quit walking around like a sinner saved by grace.
Yeah.
You're more than that.
Right.
I didn't forget, Lord. The Lord has told me this 3 times. I think I better obey. This might be the most important thing I said to you today. The only losers are quitters. The only losers are quitters. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't be a loser. You can make it. You can do it. Just live with your daddy. Live in the goodness.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. I did all that in that short of time. We're going to beat the Baptist to the restaurant today. Let's stand up. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. The only losers are quitters. We are. You know, I've done this for a long time. I've been here for almost 21 years. So I've pastored a lot. I pastored since 1994 with Pastor John. And so we've seen a lot of people do a lot of things. And there's been disappointment. And there's been all kinds of things that can stir up your feelings and make you feel sad or make you feel disappointed or even get mad or whatever. Everybody deals with it. I felt a little heavy a couple of days ago, and I was like, gosh. It was very brief, but I was kind of like, wow, you know, we got to move ahead. And I was just thinking about that, and Deb comes in with the phone, and Gladys is on the other side. Now, if you're here and you haven't met Gladys, she's right there behind Katie. And Gladys, can you hear me? Okay. She said, I need you to pray for me. Said, okay. Now, Gladys is, how old are you, Gladys? How's Gladys? 90 what? 96. You know, my dauber was a little, I'm trying to keep it up that day, just having a little, working through it, but she calls, she said, I need you to pray for me. So Deb brings the phone, and so I'm going, drawing my breath to pray, when all of a sudden, Gladys breaks out praying in the spirit. I will, I am, she just starts making all these confessions, and I was like, dear Lord Jesus, that moment my life changed. I told Deb, I don't know when I've been prouder to be a Christian. When that woman called me, she was not feeling well, and before I could even pray for her, the woman of faith began to make her confessions all by herself. Come on. I just rebuked myself. Stop being a baby. Stop acting, Willa. You know what's going to happen? Shut up.
Amen.
And here she is in here today. She didn't miss church. She didn't quit. She kept confessing. She kept moving. And she changed my life that day. I'm like, buck up, baby. Open your mouth like she did and say what you want instead of what you're thinking. Now, we all need that sometimes. So I'm just telling you today, buck up, baby. Cast down those imaginations. Get with your true identity. Celebrate everybody around you. Be on their side. As I'll tell you one more thing and we'll go. As leaders, we, you know, Deb and I don't just deal with you all. We have other churches that we know things about and help other people. And there's some other pastors and stuff that we help and they help us and such and everything. And we were dealing and helping and praying with, another pastor who, some things had gone wrong. And, one of the pastors who was giving some advice, which I think was the best advice, said, let that person know you're on their side. Don't come in there against them. Quiet in the church. Be on that person's side. Even if you know that what they're doing is not creating that, be on their side. Mm-hmm. You don't need to get down in there and go, you know, I'm going to tell you something right now. We're grown. You may grab a little kid like that and say, you get right, but we're grown. How old are you?
17.
She had to think about it. Did you see that? She looked up. Well, it's good. I think about mine too. But see, right now, I'm a little bit older. You are my sister in the Lord.
That's right.
Yeah.
And that's how I'm treating you. You're old enough.
Mm-hmm.
You're my sister. So I'm not going to go, now, no. They might, but I, but pretty soon it'll be different. Y'all receive this?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for the word.
Yes.
We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, that we are not quitters.
That's right.
We are not losers. We move forward in life, in relationship, in this day, in our prosperity, in our success. We thank you, Lord, for good outcomes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Father, I thank you for Gladys.
Yes.
She teaches me every day. She teaches me to walk by faith. Thank you for healing her body. Thank you for those who have been big here and moved forward in what they know to move forward in. Thank you for it, Lord.